It is now hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. Happy All Hallows Eve and soon to be Guy Fawkes Day. Remember, remember the 5th of November, the gunpowder treason and plot. I know of no reason why the gunpowder treason should ever be forgot. Guy Fawkes was the last man to enter Parliament with honourable intentions. Because he's going to try and blow it up, yo. I'm just joking. Right. And also, here's another thing. Violent revolution. I really don't like the idea of it. I don't like the idea of war. I don't like the idea of mass executions or mass hangings or that kind of thing against the evil scumbaggery Illuminati and so on and so forth. It should be quiet. It should be downplayed. And everybody should just kind of get along with their life. But they'd suddenly realised after a while that, hold on a second, I'm not being pulled over for BS reasons. The police aren't acting like thugs anymore. The judges are actually not enforcing corrupt rules. Surveillance is now illegal on me. And all of these rights that I thought I once had have actually been restored to me. Wouldn't that be nice? Don't you think? Rather than seeing children blown apart in your frickin' street. Who the hell is stupid enough to want the horror and the danger and the destruction of war in your own neighborhood? Your own neighbors, and you just watch them dead in the street. You know, just really, really try and visualize that whenever you even think about taking up arms to defend liberty when peaceful alternatives are still currently available. Unless they're rolling through the street, freaking shooting everybody already, it's not a good idea to fight back in a physical, violent, revolutionary fashion. At least that's my kind of perspective coming from what I know about how war actually affects people and how bad an idea it is for people to have military uprisings and then impose new governments afterwards. They always wind up turning corrupt or even worse than the tyranny that they overthrew. It's not a good move. There's a lot of people talking about this kind of thing, encouraging it even. And that's dangerous, man. Very, very dangerous. Because it tars all of us with the same brush, doesn't it? These people really got no responsibility for the words that come out of their mouth. They don't even care about the suffering that could possibly cause or inflict on their countrymen. You got to wonder, how far are you willing to go? How much are you willing to listen to somebody else's ideas before you start thinking for yourself and coming up with your own ideas of the world that you want to see and start making it happen? How long is it going to take? How many rabbit holes do you need to be led down? How many false directions? How many times do you have to be let down by people being dishonest before you stop lying to yourself? I just thought I'd add that little bit of thinking that I'd been having the last couple of days in there, James. I'm sorry, it's kind of a little off topic.
Well, not necessarily.
How so?
Well, I mean, everybody's worst nightmare is basically the truth pertaining to the Freemasons. I mean, they really, truly are the ones running everything, and they spend a great deal of time and money to put things out in the world to point their fingers at other groups, but see, it all goes back to them. After all, it is Freemasonry where any other occult order that is either adjacent or higher than basic Freemasonry does their recruiting. It's where the CIA, MI6, and all the other intelligence communities do their recruiting. The thinking being, oh, well, if these guys take 32 of these Masonic oaths, then, you know, hey, they must know a thing or two about keeping their mouth shut and keeping secrets and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, it gets into that whole world. I mean, it's the gateway. It's a gateway drug.
So it's a recruitment arm?
Well, totally. I mean, especially where I came out of in Dallas. Yeah, it's a giant recruiting arm, yes. But you're never going to be in that position until you're at least a 32nd degree Mason, and then from there, still dedicated, still trying to seek out more appendant degrees and that sort of thing. That's when the eyes are going to finally go on you.
Is it like you fatten up a chicken or something, giving it growth hormones? By the time the final injection's put in there, they dip you in arsenic so that you retain more water and that you'll be nice, plump, and fat and juicy when they slaughter you. Can we have an idea of how exactly this recruitment process goes on? Like, you've got certain degrees and what have you that they do. How exactly are they conditioning the recruits into malleable characters for, say, clandestine services, for instance?
Well, I mean, the conditioning process is those 32 degrees of Freemasonry. By the time you've taken all of those, you're such a cog in the wheel there that, I mean, the groundwork is already laid out and done. So at that point, it's really just a matter of, you know, observation and whatnot, and then they'll act on, you know, you'll be approached and say, oh, come, we want to give you this degree or that degree, or you'll be approached for job opportunities or, you know, whatever, and that's when you get into that world of, you know, the intelligence type stuff. I mean, like, for example, all this stuff right now going around about Edward Snowden, and I'm still not convinced that he's a real person. But let's go with the argument that he is a real person and not some actor or whatever. Because, I mean, you know, where is he? There's paparazzi crawling all over Moscow looking for him, and they never come up with a picture. Yet we see pictures of, like, say, Julian Assange every day, right? So what people don't realize, though, is if it is true that he is a real person, okay, well, he didn't work for the CIA proper, because to have any kind of a job for the FBI or the CIA or whatever here in America, you have to at least have a 4-year college degree. And this Edward Snowden, by their own admittance, by what they say about him and admit about him, he was a high school dropout. But see, he was working for a subcontractor called Booz Allen Hamilton. So it would be kind of like, you know, Stratfor or one of those places, or Halliburton or what have you. And, yeah, that recruiting does absolutely go on in the 32nd degree level of Freemasonry. Yes.
So that means that the 33rd degree of Freemasonry is the nexus point of the power structure of the SERF. They're the ones that have all the connections to the powerful roundtable groups, brainwashing schemes, so on and so forth. And as you were saying, when they're coming up through the 32 degrees and it's conditioning them, it occurs to me to be a form of brainwashing or mind control. So, in essence, Freemasonry itself, Scottish Rite anyway, is a conveyor belt by which a lot of people get diverted off the main conveyor belt that has that objective of brainwashing and mind controlling you all the way up to the point where you can be easily used for in perhaps clandestine operations or some other form of scumbaggery. They kind of weed out all the honesty, all the decency, that kind of thing. And if they don't weed it out, they certainly threaten that if you ever use it, you won't be using it for long.
Well, right, yes. And then not only that, but, I mean, again, by their own admittance, the Supreme Council themselves in the year 1985 admitted that they fully finance research at Stanford Research International in California for mind control and behavior manipulation from a distance. So, I mean, yeah, the structure of Freemasonry is a giant mind control mechanism. That's why they put you through the murderous oaths and whatnot, because if you can take all that in and not go crazy in the process, then you're exactly the kind of material they want. And this is exactly why the intelligence community is breathing down my neck and everything right now with their trolling and spying, and you never know where their a lens is going to be and that kind of thing, because they're upset simply because I'm inhibiting their environment that they recruit from. If Freemasonry takes a hit, that means there's less candidates for headhunting.
Well, in headhunting, that takes us on to superstition. Demon possession, specifically. And I recall one time you told me that if you're in the 33rd degree of Freemasonry, you are either prime and ready for or already have been a subject to demon possession of some kind.
Yes, because make no mistake, ritual is a very powerful thing. And when you're playing around with that stuff with the complete impunity that is the attitude there in those higher structures of Freemasonry, then yeah, I mean, you're opening yourself up to all sorts of things. I mean, the root of Masonic ritual is derived from ancient Egyptian Solomonic magic. So you get into this whole thing about the 72 demons of the Goetia and evocations and invocations and all this sort of stuff. And like the Golden Dawn, for example, we briefly touched on that before. The Golden Dawn is basically where all of the most devout, serious, seasoned Masonic occultic ritualists retire, for want of a better word. That's where they go to play after they've done a lifetime of this sort of thing. And I mean, it's not the only way that you can get in there, but it's the most common.
So if it's kind of based on ancient Egyptian sort of black magic, it's almost like you said that there's bloodlines involved here, a lot of recruiting. You come from one of these Masonic bloodlines with a grandfather above in the Masonic library and so on. So you've got a whole bunch of people who conceivably for a very, very long time have got blood ties to this type of magic. And it's a recruiting session for them, so that they can be conditioned by the Masons to open them up and to make them controllable, so that they can be safe vessels for entities visiting here from another plane to cause destruction and chaos.
Yes, and that's exactly why you're most likely to see a future Mason in a young man who comes from a family with a history of it. It follows it. I mean, you almost can't explain how it is. It just is. No matter how you look at the statistics internally, it always comes back to that. It follows these families and these bloodlines and everything else. And people sometimes think of bloodlines and they think, oh, we're talking about a very, very small niche percentage of the human population. Well, no, actually, when you consider how humans have migrated and spread out over the world throughout our history of civilization, I mean, you're talking about a lot of people, actually.
You're talking about a massive pool, right? Kind of like it's like a bag of chips, spiritually speaking, isn't it? You know, you got one big bag, it's the whole of humanity, and a whole bunch of chips in there, and you can just eat them one at a time whenever you want. Finish the whole bag if you want.
Right, and if there's someone, like I'm sure they look at me now as some sort of disappointment, or I wasn't willing to, you know, participate in all of the dark, sick, occulted things that they wanted me to or whatever. So that classifies me as a disappointment. So they're out looking for, you know, the next best thing, the next most devoted person that they can stick in a position like that on Supreme Council payroll. Yeah.
And this allegedly 33 published degrees, the top one being Auto Ab Kale with the double-headed eagle, which I've seen as a symbol in a number of films and video games and things of this nature, which I find very interesting. Order out of chaos, which is what David Icke called problem, reaction, solution. Are there any degrees higher above that that are unpublished?
Yeah, totally. I mean, when you count them all up, there's probably, like they say, there's about 360. And yeah, I mean, if you're talking about like the Rite of Memphis Mizraim, then that's, I think it's like 95 or 96 degrees. And, you know, York Rite has about 9. And then there's all these little appendant bodies. Like, it's basically like you learn a new handshake and you get a new dues card. You pay another $100 and kaboom, you're in this other order or whatever. I mean, and there's just a ton of them. There's so many. I mean, and then you can do that, and it gets really ridiculous. Like, they have one called the Super Excellent Master's Degree, and that's if you've done every degree there is, then there's that one. And even the 33rd is not the highest in that particular Scottish Rite structure, because above that you have what's called the Grand Cross of Honor. So it never ends, and that's indicative of how much of a pyramid scheme that the whole thing, the whole place is, which is what I wrote about in my first book.
Well, that leads me to suspect that there's kind of what the Gnostics call archons at the very top there on the influencing spectrum, because they're obsessed, absolutely obsessed with possessing human bodies in order to fulfill hierarchical structures. Really, really complex, endless, infinite hierarchical structures. We'll be right back after the break at the VinnieAzelShow.com. James Wright is my guest. Welcome back.
Come gather around, people, wherever you're
on. Oh yeah, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. My very special guest is James Wright, Occupy Freemasonry on Facebook. If you just search Occupy Freemasonry on Facebook, you should be able to find it. We're going to give out a PDF of James's new book, with the archives, on the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. So I hope everybody will be more than happy to read that book and get it out to people, because what I've found, James, is that the corporate model's kind of not really working anymore for anybody. What I've found is a new industrial way of doing business these days is you give people something for free and then ask them whether or not they think it's worth paying for. You know? So if you download that PDF, ladies and gentlemen, and you think it's actually worth paying for, what would that book normally retail for, James?
Well, the retail price on it was $18.95, and then the Kindle was $5.
Yeah. So if you like it, just pay the Kindle version of it through to the PayPal at Occupy Freemasonry. There you go. And this way, you subvert the scumbaggery elements that are trying to prevent this book from getting out, and you get the book out. And you fund James so he can write another one. I think that's win-win-win. And even if you don't like the book, you don't have to pay for it.
Yeah, sounds good to me. I mean, if someone out there wants to be gracious enough to help me out, I mean, I could sure use it. This is... I had a very, very, very nice life before all this happened, and I basically sacrificed everything to do what I'm doing. So again, this allegation that I'm doing it for some kind of money or glamour, I mean, it's laughable. I this has completely ruined me, but you know, I'm holding strong and I haven't gone hungry yet. I had a lot of blessings that I can't really attribute to anything other than like God and miracles. So, you know, I just keep going, and I just moved to Phoenix, and if there's anybody in the Phoenix area that wants to organize an event or whatever, I'm game, and I'd like to help any way I can, even if it's just to contribute. So
there's so much to be done that's the other element that I'm not sure that people appreciate. I think Freemasonry is kind of isolated and it's only, you know, got its fingers in a few pies here or there. But nah, bro, it's freaking everywhere. Like, honestly, I cannot walk down the street without seeing Masonic symbols and stuff everywhere. I mean, really, you drive through New Zealand, bro. And I don't know, if you ever come to New Zealand, man, we'll go on a road trip, James. It'll be awesome. Because you go through every single town. And at the outskirts of the town, there's always a big, you know, sign with a whole bunch of symbols on it or whatever, you know. And there's always a Freemason symbol. Always. There's a lodge in every single town. And just think about how pervasive this is. There's also a spire in the middle of pretty much every town as well. Another Masonic symbol. I mean, it's saturating us. We live in a new age already. It's a Masonic age.
Yeah,
taken full control of our culture.
Yes, absolutely. And that's why they say that Queen Elizabeth is the largest landowner in the world. It's because she is the actual owner of United Grand Lodge of England, Freemasonry, the whole entire monster. And so when you consider that, like you're just saying, yeah, lodges are more prevalent than McDonald's or Starbucks, then yeah, she is the largest landowner. So, I mean, this is how this goes. And as far as, you know, oh, it's not the Masons who are running everything, really, because like you were just saying, I also can't seem to notice the symbolism or whatever of any other group as prevalent. It is. It's everywhere. Like when they try to take down Masonica off YouTube, it goes down at 1333, I'm not kidding, views. And then, surprisingly, I wrote to YouTube and disputed it because they were claiming it was for copyright reasons. And I'm like, it's not monetized. I'm not seeking to make money off of it. It links to iTunes to purchase Erotica by Madonna. So what is the problem? And surprisingly, they put it back up. So...
Well, that's convenient. It was really strange, these little coincidences. In fact, I remember we had a Skype conversation at one point, and the time that we started the call was like at or ended the call was like 3 hours and 33 minutes or something ridiculous like that. It was it's happened more than once. It's happened quite a number of different strange times. Oh, here we are. I've got the screenshots here in front of me. It's about to go 3:33 a.m. Yeah, that was quite funny actually. That was a very late night conversation.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, there's people who would argue from an esoteric point that, oh, there's something to that, or it's meant to be, or whatever. I mean, I just really don't hold any opinion on it anymore, other than when you turn on the TV or you drive through a major thoroughfare and you see this stuff. That's on purpose. That's there to put it, you know, in everyone's minds. It's to popularize it and make it sexy and cool and everything else, because they have nothing else going for them.
Oh, but dig this, bro. You'll love this. We actually had two conversations within a 24-hour period. One of them on the, I think that's the 10th of July. What's the 7th month? I forget. Yeah. One of them we had on the 10th of July, and the call started at 3:33 p.m. And the other conversation that we had on the 11th of July ended at 3:33 a.m.
I smell a conspiracy.
Like, I'm not making it up, bro. We have the freaking screenshot. Oh, my God. But it doesn't actually really mean anything, okay? That's another thing. Just because you notice, or it just happens to be that way, doesn't mean that there's some kind of conspiracy in involved there. It's just one of those very interesting little synchronicities. And I find those little synchronicities, there's usually a little bit of meaning or interpretation to them. It's sort of like you pass a road sign that you're not going to change your route on or whatever, You know, let's say you're heading to Auckland from Hamilton and you pass the roadside that says this way to Auckland and you're already going that way anyway. It doesn't make much of a difference. That's the kind of thing that I'm talking about here. We're talking about the 33rd degree Freemasons. We're talking about the scumbaggery. And then we have these little coincidences where the number 33 just keeps popping up all the time. It's in our minds to a large degree. And I think it's just telling me, yeah, you're on the right track. Just keep going. Just keep going.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, because when we had those conversations, it's not like we were really talking shop or anything like that. We were just kind of cutting up and having fun. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I see it all the time, too, around me. And it's, I don't know. I just kind of quit paying attention to it, though. Otherwise, you know, I'd focus on that. And,
Oh, I find it just really funny. You know, I'm going to be like, whenever you're watching TV, something like that, you'll be like, you point them out as they come out. Ah, Masonic Flop. Ah, Old Single Eye Pyramid. Ah, there's the number 33. Ah, there's 666. And it's not like it's driving me nuts. It's actually just quite funny how obvious it all becomes when you start to see that every single television show and every single movie has some kind of Masonic symbolism in it, and really obviously too, as in the camera angle wouldn't be pointed in that direction for any other reason. You know, there's a whole art and a craft to filmmaking. Nothing is in the frame by accident, or very rarely. And the fact that I find it in virtually every film that I view is astounding to me.
Yeah, and I mean, like when you're dealing with Jay-Z or any of these other recording artists who, you know, try to promote this whole thing, you know, Illuminati or this, that, 33 or Aleister Crowley or, you know, whatever it is. I mean, it seemed my experience with that, especially having been around it in Hollywood, is, you know, they're just a hollow husk that's being made to do that by a higher power. And that higher power, again, I can't stress this enough, the Illuminati, as it were, is not, they don't call themselves that. It's the Order of the Silver Star, or when you see the initials AA. That ain't for Alcoholics Anonymous. It's for Argentum Astrum, which is Latin for Silver Star. So, they're controlling everything. All of Hollywood, all of entertainment, which entertainment is not just TV, music, and film. It's also sports. It's also literary, as I'm now experiencing. And, I mean, it's
children's books.
Yeah.
They got their fingers in all the pies. Not just many. It's extraordinary.
Yeah, well, it's taken them, I guess, a long time to get there, but they're there, and like everybody has the suspicion, that suspicion is accurate. I mean, what did we learn from the whole NSA whistleblowings? I mean, some people, I guess, had a revelation, but not people like us. We already knew that we were being spied on and that these internet companies are just rolling over and allowing this element to do that, and it's everywhere. I mean, it's probably in more places than we realize.
Because some people are still like, what, the government's spying on me? For real?
Yeah, for real.
Like, no, Shiite Muslim? I mean, come on. It amazes me just how naive we all are to a large degree on so many things. It's just crap. The way that we get raised, I'm just like, spend the bulk of your time when you're growing up plugged into some kind of mind control device or distraction where you don't actually learn any new skills or acquire any useful knowledge. You're just wasting your freaking time so that your parents don't have to deal with you by teaching you useful skills or useful knowledge. And that's the way the entire society has been brought up. You know, get to the age of 20 and you spend about maybe 20 minutes learning things that are actually useful. All the rest of it is just hogwash, BS, never be of value to you in your entire life. Isn't that really sad? Imagine where humankind could be today. If it wasn't being held back by ruthless criminals, sociopathic scumbaggery, filth mongers at the top, you know, the silver, what was it? The Order of the Silver Star?
Yeah.
The Order of the Silver Star. Nothing to do with getting the Silver Star when you get for bravery and commendations, I presume.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's a movie out there that the entire experience I had in Los Angeles just reminds me so much of, and that's The Ninth Gate with Johnny Depp. And, you know, he's working for this guy who's the CEO of a publishing label, and him and all of his friends are just these devout Satanists, and, you know, they're all into the validity of whether a book was really written by the devil. And, I mean, those people exist. This is real stuff. And in that movie, interestingly enough, they allude to, like, the name of the Illuminati, but they call it, like, Order of the Silver Serpent or something like that. But no, it really is Silver Star. And, you know, all these so-called Illuminati whistleblowers and people, I get so frustrated with it because they claim that they're bringing new information out or they have some sort of inside track on things, and yet they can't even properly name the place. I don't get this. So either people are making things up, or they're purposely being disinformation agents. I don't know which.
Either that, or it's kind of like, you know, when you make a movie about somebody and it portrays them in a very bad light or something like that, you just don't use their real name because then they'll get really effed off with you.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, that's... Yeah. So to reveal and to avoid any kind of lawsuits, like when I was talking earlier about... I believe I probably had a CIA handler. Yeah, that person is a very established, famous author, and I can't, I guess, say his name really, but I'll say something that sounds like it. We'll just call him Don Briquette.
Don Briquette. Okay. A little pseudonym.
Yes.
Is that his pen pal name, is it?
No, it's, I don't know. It just kind of, that's the only thing I can think of at the moment.
Hey, well, you know, you probably haven't gotten any sleep for the last couple of years because of Masonic freaking mind attacks from demon scum. So, you know, you'll be forgiven a few mental lapses here or there.
Yeah, well, but the good news is, though, I mean, it seems right now at first glances, granted I've only been here for a week and a half, but it seems like there's not a lot of Freemasonry in the culture here in Arizona. I mean, it's obviously around, but you just don't see, like, Los Angeles, you drive down the street, oh, there's a lodge, and there's a lodge, and there's a lodge. You don't see that here, so that's the good news for me at the moment.
Right, we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, after the break. At thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. But bear in mind, this is a 100% listener-supported broadcast, so if you can please go, I need 500 people to donate a couple of bucks a month to thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. 500 people, couple of bucks a month, that'll give me all the resources that I need in order to continue the show, pay rent, and start up Guerrilla Media House, actually. We'll be right back. Welcome back. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's the final segment right here on this All Hallows Eve. I hope everybody's dressing up in really scary costumes. You know what I'm talking about. White gloves, aprons, that sort of thing. Going around scaring small children with them.
Yeah.
That'd actually be quite hilarious. There's a whole bunch of Masons with their aprons on running after the children. little girls running away, pigtails flailing in the breeze, lunch pails opening, you know, packed lunches falling onto the ground, stuff like that. The Masons sniffing it, you know, for vital child pheromones and stuff. Ugh.
Yes, come to the Masons Haunted House of Horrors for Halloween, yeah.
Yeah. stand on the giant black and white Masonic tiled floor with a gargantuan upside down pentagram and the sacrificed child in effigy on it.
As we summon demons.
As we summon demons for your children, come along to the Masonic House of Horror.
Oh, goodness gracious. It's funny because it's true.
Yeah. Sacrificing children to dark demons has always been a great pastime of some people, you know. Just for a laugh.
Yeah, like Queen Elizabeth and the Rothschilds. Oh, yeah. Favorite pastime.
Yeah. You know, it occurs to me that we're living in kind of like a almost like a pre-packaged, fabricated, it's like a moment in time, thousands of years ago, when there was all this brutality, deception, slavery, dark occult practices, and things like that in ancient Egypt. It's like they froze that moment in time, and they kept it going up until now. And now we've just got a really high-tech version of it. Like an artist's impression of a building.
Yeah, it does seem like that. And certainly when you're dealing with these occult orders, I mean, yeah, time is frozen. I mean, they've all had their scandals and things that have sort of torn them apart and reshaped them because they always come back for more. But, I mean, all in all, nothing's really changed, you know. And I mean, I should note that when you're talking about any kind of cult or occult group or whatever you want to call it, every time you look at it, every single last time, you can put the names of all these places into a hat and draw one out. And I guarantee you that no matter what it is we're talking about, it was founded and begun by breakaway Freemasons who were looking to go establish and explore their own take on occult matters, like Aleister Crowley and the OTO as one example, like Jack Parsons and NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory as another example, like L. Ron Hubbard and the Church of Scientology as yet another example. It's all 33rd degree Freemasons.
Well, it wasn't Jehovah's Witnesses as well?
Yes, as was the Church of Latter-day Saints, the Mormons, yes, all of them.
Okay, so they figured out a scheme. Here's another thing. Would they actually be 33rd degree Freemasons who are starting up a breakaway church because that particular 33rd degree Freemason had a different interpretation on Freemasonry and they wanted to explore it? Or are they merely an agent of the greater Order of the Silver Star, creating another way to divide people through false belief and occult practices and then turning it into simply another recruiting arm?
Both. I mean, they take what they do seriously, so yeah, it means something to them. But yeah, absolutely, it always serves that purpose as well, yeah.
Do they know that it's serving this purpose? Are they aware of it, or are they kind of like dupes to a certain degree as well?
Well, I guess if you spend your life in it, you're a dupe any way you look at it. But the most cases, yeah, they know. I mean, like Aleister Crowley, he knew. He was a 33rd degree Mason before he was anything else. So he took the OTO, which was the remnants of the Bavarian Illuminati in Germany with a guy he knew named Theodor Royce, renovated the order and came out with this whole Thelema and everything else that the OTO is. And so the Order of the Silver Star regards Crowley as one of their prophets of the past, like Christianity regards Jesus Christ as a prophet. So you're dealing with the same concepts and everything else. It's just that these are the type of people who do this sort of thing and don't really talk about it publicly. Yeah.
Like the cockroaches of society or the creepy crawlies.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, you can look at any religion and of course it's going to have good things about it, but you know, it seems that from my vantage point at least, these really aren't religions. They're just businesses that are all attached back to the larger octopus business, which is Freemasonry.
And they get like tithes or something? Well, people have to pay to do all these Masonic order degrees or whatever that don't actually cost any money for the Masonic Lodge to give to you?
Not really that way. It just has to do with stoking membership, you know. So if like the Golden Dawn were to suddenly come out and run around and try to do a bunch of recruiting, there would be a certain degree of that that would have Masonic prerequisites and that sort of thing. So, I mean, in any way you look at it, like the OTO, I mean, they'll claim as an order that, you know, oh, well, we're separate from Freemasonry, and they are, but, I mean, their membership just feeds right into Masonic membership as well, so Freemasonry always is the benefactor of all these different types of programs and things, yeah.
It's a very, very complex but overarching system. Mate, how on earth are we actually going to bring them down? Like, really? I mean, as you said earlier on the on the call there, about how, what are you going to do? Redress your grievance by suing them when they are the lawyers, they are the judges, you know? What are you going to do? Start a war against them when they own all the armies? What are you going to do? Start an information campaign against them when they own all the information pushes? What are you going to do? Write a book about them when they own all the publishers? What are you going to do? Expose them when they own all the intelligence agencies? What are we going to do?
Yeah, that is the current predicament, but, I mean, really, all I can say to that is it's just going to take the power of the people and the true scandal of what the place is to hit en masse. I mean, they're trying every... I believe sincerely that everything I've been doing would probably have gone viral at this point. But because of the way they control things and the way, you know, I'll sit there and I'll tell new people in the media that I come into contact with, you know, the long story short of all this, and, oh, well, I don't think it's true, though, that the Masons are going around threatening people and blah, blah, blah. Well, you know what? KFKA 1310 in Colorado said the same thing. And then after I was on their show for one night, the very first night, the Masonic phone calls and emails and letters in the mail were relentless. How dare you put him on? Don't you put him on again. Scooter McGee needs to be put on administrative leave. Grumble, grumble, grumble. You know, and now there were no Masons working at KFKA, so they just took it as, oh, well, we must be getting good ratings, and they were, and so they went ahead and did it. But that's just one example of someone that did. There's been plenty, like panpipes on Hollywood Boulevard, that, you know, out of fear of these Masonic threats coming in, don't you dare, you know, that they just cave in to the pressure and, okay, we won't. That right there should have been the biggest scandal on KTLA News at 6 that day. I mean, but it's just never allowed to get to that. They sit on this. They keep their finger on it. They keep trying to push me down and keep me in the throes of destitution and threatening any kind of media personnel and all this kind of stuff. And, oh, no, that doesn't go on. Yes, it does. You have gone and shown the world that it does go on because you people are doing it.
It happens all the time, doesn't it? Throughout history, you get some group of scumbags that have got immense power and wealth and control and all the slaves and everything that they want. And then they come crashing down really nastily because people just get freaking fed up with it. Can't be bothered. And I can't be bothered putting up with this Masonic scumbaggery. You know? What about you, ladies and gentlemen? Do you feel like putting up with any further Masonic scumbaggery? Is it good for your health? Is it good for your children? I don't think so. And bear in mind, there is, and I really get tired of having to reiterate this point, there ain't nothing wrong with Freemasonry in general, right? We're talking about a very, very specific group of scumbags who have seized control of basically the planet at the Scottish Rite, the Supreme Council, the Order of the Silver Star. Okay? That's what we're talking about. If you're some porch mason or whatever, mate, you don't have a freaking clue what the hell is going on. They don't tell you nothing in those first 3 degrees of the Blue Lodge or York Rite or anything like that. They ain't telling you anything. They tell you that they are telling you something really important, but none of it is. Okay? There's a hell of a lot more information available to you as a brother of the institution than they're letting on. Okay? So don't be naive. Don't be deceived. Do your own freaking research, mate. And that way, you've got the power of the knowledge yourself, and you don't need them anymore. You never did. James Wright, thank you very much for coming on the show with me today. And we'll see you again.
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween, indeed. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Hope you don't die of fructose corn syrup poisoning. We'll be right back.